Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. I also request all my disciples, at least those who are present here, to listen to the talk that I gave on proper pronunciation. You'll find it on the internet. Now, before I start speaking on the next name from Vishnu Sahasranam, I'd just like to share with you some pleasant news, not earth-shattering news, but pleasant news. Recently I spoke on the name Bhushaya, and that was published on the internet. And then one of my disciples, who lives at New Talavan, his name is Astik Das, he told a devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who lives there or is associated with that place, that his name was Bhushaya. And he told him that this lecture was available. And after hearing that, Bhushaya Prabhu, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, told Astik Prabhu that many times he'd asked so many devotees, he couldn't find out the meaning. Now he got it. So, so glad to be able to be of some service to at least one Vaishnava in discussing these names. Name number 642 is Vishuddhatma. And anyone who knows any Indian language with the, well, or the main Indian languages that derive very clearly from Sanskrit, or anyone who studies Shastra, can understand what this name means. It's very easy to understand. Atma means self. And that's a broad definition. Shuddha means pure. And vit means very, or completely. It can also mean not. It can also be a negator. So obviously, God is the supreme pure. Krishna is completely pure. Some rascals say that Krishna isn't pure. He does so many wrong things, telling lies, dancing with other people's wives. And others who don't understand the science of Krishna, they say, well, he was good when he was young, but later on he became corrupted. When he was young, any child is good. Even Hitler wasn't arranging to kill millions of people when he was a baby. He was probably a very sweet little baby. Most babies are sweet. At least when they're not crying. To the mother, they're always sweet. Even when they're crying, passing stool, and so on. So that's not a very good argument, that when he was young he was pure and later he was not pure. So this name, although it seems axiomatic that God must be pure, it requires some discussion to understand. It may seem he's not very pure. One thing, killing others, does a lot of killing. Vinashaya tajushkritam. He said, I come to this world to kill the rascals. Well, isn't that bad in itself? As Arjuna proposed, that killing in and of itself was wrong. So Krishna is killing you. Sometimes in India, I meet with Christians and say, well, our God is very good. Jesus is very good. He's the Prince of Peace. Have you heard that? They try to convert you here. I guess they're in the homeland of Billy Graham. There must be plenty who are enthusiastic. They come where? The same people come every weekend. They're more polite nowadays. They used to be obnoxious, but now they're polite, understanding that their obnoxiousness was counterproductive. So what do? You preach to them?
Yes, of course.
Good. So? Why are they killing animals? And then they give up trying to convert you, is it? You're condemned to hell for the sin of not killing animals. Is it? They accuse that our Jesus is very pure and your Krishna, he's killing so many people. He's not pure. But we should know that everything Krishna does is pure. The next name is Vishodhana. The pure, which means the purifier. So, Krishna, everything he does is pure. I'll get that back to why that is just a little later. Because the term Atma, we understand, can mean body, it can mean mind, and it can mean soul. We use the English word soul, or self. So Krishna's body is pure in the sense that, as like yesterday I gave initiation to one Mataji, Vimalangi. That was the name given of in the list of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. But I think for a female it should be Vimalangini, actually. But Vimalangi would be a name for Krishna, male name. So that means the same thing. Vishuddh, Vimala, very similar meanings. Very pure, or Vimal here, Vir is used in the sense of a negation, not an intensifier. Vishuddha means very pure, and Vimala means negating no impurity. So it can be used both ways. So Krishna's body is completely pure. We won't find on Krishna's body any defects, like one arm is longer than the other, or has his bodily limbs are disproportionate, not nicely formed. He's beautiful. Beautiful means all his limbs are just right. He doesn't have eczema on his skin, or leprosy, or any such thing. Doesn't even get sunburn. He never heard of Krishna having sunburn. That's because when he goes out in the fields, in Raja, in the hot summer, then the clouds, they come. The clouds, his friends, they come and block the sunlight. That's described in Bhagavatam, isn't it? How in the autumn season, how the clouds, they come and give nice shelter to Krishna. Is that the reason? Well, yeah, not exactly. Yes and no. He's always pure. His body is always pure. And his mind is always pure. there's no trace of mundane lust, anger, greed, no trace of any mundane spirit in him. And his self, his very being is pure. That means what is the meaning of his self being pure? Is that he desires all good for others. So when he kills others, he also desires their good and affects their good by doing so. So his killing is not some sign of impurity. His anger is also pure. If we think very pure, what does that mean? Generally we think that pure means free of faults. If we say someone, we don't see in them any calm, crowed, lobe, all these things. Lust, anger, greed, actually. So someone could be called pure. But very pure is not, means not, is not only is he free from all traces of that which is impure, but his heart is full of love for others. So it's not just purity by negation, but it's positive purity. We have in the Bhagavatam the description of those who go up to the spiritual realm without worshipping Krishna. The yena ravindaksha vimuktamaninas. What's the next line? Twasta bhavad, and then avishuddha, buddhayaha, avishuddha, aruhya kritrena parang padang tata patantyatho nadata yashvaranga. The persons become pure by performing severe austerities, and they can ascend to the spiritual realm, but they fall down again. So they become pure, but they're avishuddha. Their intelligence is not, it's shuddha, it's pure, but it's not fully and completely pure, because they neglect to worship Krishna's lotus feet. So they're not vishuddhātmā. Krishna's vishuddhātmā, and his pure devotees are also vishuddhātmā. Krishna is the leader of them all. So Krishna's very being is completely pure. And the commentators here, typically, Parashara Bhatta translate or gives the understanding in terms of Bhagavan's kindness to his devotees, or favor toward his devotees. Parashara Bhatta states that this name means that he gives all that he has to his devotees. Therefore, he's of pure nature. To not be greedy is one thing. To give everything to others is better. Just like an example Srila Prabhupada often gives. If someone sees a $100 bill lying on the ground, he may pick it up and put it in his pocket and think, great, I hit big today. Someone may think, no, it belongs to someone else. I shouldn't take it. It's not mine. And someone else may think, oh, someone lost it. Let me pick it up and find out who lost it and return it to them. So we can extend this analogy to this name, Vishuddhātmā. One who picks up the money and takes it for himself, for his own sense gratification, he is not of pure consciousness. One who leaves it, thinks it's not for me, he's of pure consciousness. He doesn't desire to enjoy that which is not meant for him. And one who picks it up and finds the owner and returns it, he's of very pure consciousness, because he's taking trouble. Not only is he moral, but he's taking the trouble to help someone who's in difficulty or because of losing that. So Shankaracharya, Shankaracharya gives a meaning for the names in Vishnu Sahasranama. He gives a meaning which applies to the greatness of God. And Parashara Bhatta from the Vaishnava Sampradaya gives a meaning. Shankara gives the meaning of the greatness of God in terms of his glories and majesty and power, and Parashara Bhatta does so in terms of his love for his devotees. So Shankaracharya says that he who is beyond the influence of the three modes of nature, sattva, rajas, and tamas. And of course, the Mayavad understanding or misunderstanding of the term Atma is the universal spirit. That's how they understand it. And they think that Krishna represents the universal spirit. We're all part of that universal spirit, and that we are, as Ramana Maharshi put it, man minus desire equals God. So that's their idea. That's their idea. That when you become free from all the impurities, then we are Atma by nature, but we realize that we're Atma, and then we reach to the level of God. Maybe even better, because Krishna, they may accept Krishna as Ishvara, the controller, but after all, he was killing people and dancing with others, and then they tried to symbolize that, make it all symbolic. So we have to be very careful when we're discussing with people who are immersed in Mayavad, because if we say we're all Atma, they'll agree, yeah. But their understanding is completely different. They have the idea, yeah, we're all part of the universal spirit, which again is not completely untrue, but the way they understand it is highly defective. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the beginning of his teachings, Jiva Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. We're not just Atma, but we are servants of He who is Paramatma. So that's another point. Those who say Atma. Well, why in Shastra is there the term Paramatma then? Why? There's a differentiation. And they'll say, well, that means in the realized stage, then you're Paramatma. But if it's all one, then how come there's a... And anyway, their philosophy makes no sense. It is a philosophy, in as much as it's put together with arguments and discussion from Shastra and this and that. But ultimately, it's a bunch of rubbish. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushana, the Gaurya Vaishnava commentator on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, gives a completely... he's interpreting this series of names in a completely different way. That doesn't mean that he says that the previous acharyas are wrong. That's not the intention. But others have already given various interpretations, which he accepts, but then he's giving this series of names in this verse. These names are in one verse from Vishnu Sahasranam. He's explaining in terms of Krishna's pastimes when he first entered Mathura, which may not be very pleasing to the Vrajavasis to hear. So he's just been discussing how the previous name. What was the previous name? Archishman was the first in this verse. Kumbha. So the first understanding given for that name is he who is the object of all desire. So Baladev Vidyabhushan, if you remember, he explained this to mean that Kubja was so full of desire for Krishna that she snatched his cloth and tried to pull him like that. So continuing from that, Baladev Vidyabhushan explains Vishuddhatma, Krishna, because Kubja said, you come to my house. How about that? A village boy goes to the city and beautiful, well, she wasn't beautiful, he made her beautiful. A beautiful girl says, come home with me. But Krishna said, I have some work to do, I'll see you later. His work was killing Kamsa and Chanura, a Kuvalayapi elephant before that. So he had some work to do. But he promised her, I'll come back later. Similarly to Akrura, when, although Baladev doesn't mention this here, when Krishna first reached to Mathura, so Akrura said, come to my house. And Krishna said, no, I'll come later. So up to the present day, in Indian culture, we can see it's a long-standing culture. If someone says, I'll come later, it means they're politely not going. They don't say no and refuse. Yes, yes, I'll come, but not just now. Which usually means, huh?
I'll buy the book later.
I'll buy the book later. Yeah. But Baladev says, Vishuddhatma. He's Krishna's very pure. So he wasn't deceiving her. That's the point. And later on he did visit. Both, there's one chapter in Krishna book which Srila Prabhupada titles, Krishna Pleases His Devotees, in which is described how Krishna visited the homes of Kubja and Akrura. So even though he went to the home of Kubja, who was very eager to enjoy him sexually, her love for Krishna was not on the level of the gopis, because described it was actually mixed with material desire. It started off on the platform of material desire, but then she became purified by association with Krishna. Whereas on the other hand, the love of the gopis, although it resembles material lust from the very beginning, it was completely on the transcendental platform. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavitabhis tabhirya eva nijarupati akalabhihi. Krishna enjoys in the spiritual world with the gopis and everyone else, who are all expansions of his own potencies. They enjoy transcendental, blissful pastimes. Hare Krishna. So I'll finish this very pure discussion. Not quite, because Vishnu Chitta, who is very pure because he has Vishnu in his heart all the time, he wants to ask a question.
Kubja's love was purified after associating with Krishna.
Kubja's love was purified after associating with Krishna.
So after the purification, is the love comparable to that of the gopis?
After purification, is the love comparable to the love of the gopis? Yes and no. Comparable, yes, but you can compare an ant to an elephant. Something like that. The gopi's position is unique.
It reminds me of speaking about Prabhupada, giving the example of a $100 bill.
Giving the example of a $100 bill. What would you do if you saw a $100 bill?
I found it like a few times in my $20.
You've several times happened to you. You find my, yeah. Pick it up and give it to the owner. The owner is Krishna. That's the answer to that one. That is the answer. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.